Okay. Well, that needs to be made explicit so nobody's confused and nobody's, you know, calling up on the 16th and saying, where's my ballot?
Right.
So that's one thing. The other, just final thing to clarify, the in-person voting that you mentioned, the 5 p.m. to midnight, is that going to be on the 30th at BAI?
No, the 15th.
All right, well, whatever it's going to be, it needs to be made clear and publicized so that, you know, it's not, because last time it was sprung on people at the last minute. So everyone needs to have ample notice that, that option exists.
No, I agree with that.
And the location,
and
the address, you know, whether it's the station or some other place, whatever, wherever it is, that needs
wherever
to be
it is,
very clear.
Mm-hmm. No, that I agree with. We are going to do that. I know that Michael Horowitz has been very, very good at responding to this stuff. So that's one web page that I count on. At least that's good about New York.
Do you need help from us? You know, we all have contacts at our stations. Do we need to ask our GM to make sure the webmaster puts this on, or?
I think a statement about, I mean, if there's been carts about replacement ballots, then that statement should be on all local web pages. You should click on it, and you should say, if you want a replacement ballot, call this number or email, and that should be on all of them.
Okay, well, just a suggestion. If you think that some of the webmasters are too busy or not paying attention or make this too large a priority, I just suggest you CC Grace on all this and explicitly say that, you know, you've requested this and it's taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she can talk to the GMs.
Yeah, that's been done, yes.
Okay, well, let's see.
Bill,
ready to move on.
Bill, I'm sorry, can you reserve a little time for me to raise some questions about totally separate issues that are also time sensitive, but I know, you know, other people have things. So
okay, well, Anthony and I had something too different.
Yeah.
So Anthony, you want to go ahead?
I'll wait.
Okay, that's okay. Although, you know, it's all right with me if we want to stay on New York matters and then move on elsewhere. So.
Well, why don't we? I told people we'd probably try to do this in an hour, and it's already over an hour. So let's go ahead and cover whatever you want, but let's
get
the questions.
Hey, Les, how are you?
Sick.
Oh dear. Again.
Again.
Oh,
anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Earlier, you said candidate carts were playing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to listen very much lately, but Board Up told me they haven't been played. So,
they haven't been played?
No.
They haven't been played enough. They have been played. They haven't been played enough. We were told during the fundraiser, which was supposed to end last Friday, that they were going to be on, that they would only play them very irregularly, starting Friday, at the end of the fundraiser, they were supposed to do an hourly thing. The fundraiser has been extended.
Right.
This has caused us a problem. We've been trying to talk to Lemlem about this problem, and the answer is that there's a fundraiser going on.
Right, but I thought that resolution...
I've talked to Grace about this. She mentioned the resolution. Anyway... The carts, Renee has written a fairly sharp note. I've talked to Lemlem today about it. Vinny and Lemlem are feeling that the fundraiser trumps everything.
Yeah, but does a 20-second cart interfere with fundraising? I don't think so.
Well, I don't think so. I think the reason we put together all the carts at KPFA have three versions. We have people make a 30-second, a 60-second, and a longer cart. The reason for the 30-second is in case of fundraiser, they could play those carts. that has happened to a limited extent.
So are they like playing them at night when the phone rooms closed, or?
They play them at night during the phone rooms closed. Sometimes they play them during the day, you know, but it's pretty much up to the programmer. I mean, Bonnie Faulkner is going to be more likely to play them than some other people, for example.
Right, right.
And when Noel Hanrahan is on the soundboard, she will play them.
Okay.
But I don't have particularly good news. I mean, we've had struggles about this, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is only happening at KPFA that we know of?
KPFA is a severe one. KPFK, even during their fund drive, they had me on a couple of times. We were able to combine the voting and the cards, and my understanding is that they went on. I think it's primarily happening at KPFA. I think so. Other folks from other stations might have input into that, but that's my understanding. And I haven't gotten complaints from the local election, our local election supervisors, about that.
So is I understand A and K are fundraising together, but is BAI fundraising now too?
I don't know.
Starting on the 14th.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I thought the whole point of moving the election earlier was to get out of the way of October fund drives, and now the fund drives have kind of followed the...
Yep.
But anyway, another question, Les. Do you know how many staff ballots have been received?
Any what?
How many staff ballots have been returned so far?
No, I don't have any idea. None. I'm sorry, but I you know, the listener ballots are the ones I keep track of only because with staff ballots, everybody will have their own staff ballots, and if we don't have enough staff ballots, the last couple of days we just run around. So if you haven't voted, God, you know, we'll put you in. I mean, you know, there's only a small list for the staff, and it's 25%. And we haven't failed to get that 25% anywhere.
I thought the envelopes were the same this year.
What?
I thought the envelopes were the same this year for staff and listeners.
Except for the staff on the left-hand side.
Oh, so you'd have to go to the trouble of sorting them to even know.
Yeah, we know here that, you know, because the person's... different stations are doing it differently. I mean, we're mostly looking at the listener ones, and you know, when there's a bunch of staff ones, they're sort of circled, they're put aside. But the other thing that is happening is that people are sending in their own envelopes. One of the reasons we did away with the barcode on the envelopes is because people were doing that before. And some people have called up and complained that they received. All of the stuff, but they didn't receive a ballot. I thought these are dodo heads, because of course the only way they got the envelope is we decided to put the mailing list right on the ballot, so they couldn't get anything without getting a ballot.
Okay.
And on top of it says official ballot.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I should take this up with Renee, because I'll probably see her later. But is the problem of the bad addresses, is that, I mean, theoretically, nearly all the staff ballots, or all the staff who had incorrect addresses now been sent ballots to correct addresses? Or?
Pretty much. I think she said she finished tonight. I took her down to the central thing in KPFA, and she dropped off a bunch of the staff ballots. And here it's been about 80% staff and 20% listeners. Amazing. I mean, talking about replacement ballots.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are my questions.
Boy, I wish that were the case at all the stations. I mean, that, well, it is the case at most stations, actually. It's also true at KPFK. I have no idea why. It seems that the general managers don't seem to care about where their staff lives.
Okay. I had a question, too. It's something we talked about a long time ago, and I guess we never got quite an answer, but do you need help from the election committee or anybody else in developing any written guidelines for processing the ballots? I know there were some allegations in the past, especially the last election, of making up policies on the spot to deal with questionable ballots, and maybe you already have that, but you know, I'm trying to avoid challenges and that sort of thing if somebody has, you know, some of these ballots are marked weird. Do you need anything written up in advance to just to make it more clear you're not making up something to benefit one candidate or another?
Sure. That might be helpful. Let me tell you what the situation is. I don't think we're going to have trouble at three stations. I think we're going to have trouble at KPFK and at WBAI, and that's because the boxes are so small. I need a magnifying glass to figure out where the hell I am. We weren't sure. As a matter of fact, if you look at the WBAI box, nobody's brought this up. There aren't enough boxes there. So if people wanted to write 44 candidates, they couldn't. We ran out of room. That's the most we could put. So you will not find 44 boxes on the WBAI thing. I probably shouldn't say that because now there's going to be a, what if the 44th candidate I want doesn't get his 44th? It turns out it doesn't make any difference because when you get down to when you get down to past your 10th, I mean, all you have to do is look at the rounds. Nobody looks at it anyway.
Well, plus if they didn't make the 43rd cut, then they're obviously 44th.
Yeah, but there is no 44th box.
I know, but whoever's left is 44th, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I know. Anyway, and people aren't going to go and rank all 44 candidates unless they feel this is so stupid, I'm going to do it. However, what this means, I'm trying to think about this as we run through the ballots. What this may mean is that I would like to see a committee and questionable and it be balanced by not just two factions but by a number of people. You know, this is I don't want this to be Minnesota where it takes 6 months, but I think most people, I don't like to throw out ballots. Most people make it very clear who they're voting for. What they don't make clear is this: they will scribble out things, and the human eye can look at that and make it very clear that it's scribbled out. And frankly, you know, if you have a group of people, 3 to 5 people, and they're unanimous, just, you know, have them redo the ballot and run it through. Now, I don't know what we're going to end up with. I mean, it's a new situation because you have so many candidates, and we haven't had, I mean, the only time we've had this many candidates is the very first election, and that's one of the reasons, there are many reasons, but that's one of the reasons it was done by hand, and it also took a week to count at KPFA. 1 week we spent typing in by hand.
Okay, well, just an example, I don't know. I seem like I remember this coming up before. Say somebody ranks candidate A number one,
yes,
and then they rank candidate B, and they color in both 1 and 2, or 1 and 5, or something like that.
Right.
And then they do that through, and if you go through it, you can see by the process of elimination
that
once they mark twice, it really wasn't one, it was really the other.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, do we need something, a procedure for that, or are there just too many possibilities, or...
No, there aren't too many possibilities. I will look for the procedures that I used in 206,
okay,
and all of that was spelled out. Oh, shit, that's another task, let's see. But But I do have a little time. I mean, I just have so many tasks the next few days.
Yeah. Well, I guess my point was, do you need help? And, you know, if you want to send us any of those questions.
Let me, for example, for that question, most of this has been answered and is pretty straightforward. So if a person ranks somebody 1, 2, and 3, and you look at the boxes and they're all filled in, that means they like that person.
Okay.
And you just throw the 2 and 3 away.
Well, I know that's the way it's been in the past. You take the highest ranking if they ranked several of them. But
yeah, if it's equal, in other words, if you can see that they're doing that, because people are confused. I get this when I go out and I've moderated the community forums. They'll say, what a confusing method. And, of course, most of the world uses this method, as they say, with universal health care. Most of the developed world has it, and most of the developed world uses proportional representation. People don't have trouble with it. They have trouble with it in this country because we have winner-take-all. And so if you say 9 people are running for city council, you try to have slates that say vote for those 9 people, and, you know, if those 9 people get 50% plus one vote, they control the whole city council.
Yeah,
that's not the case in our situation. Our situation, if people learn proportional representation and what it means, that it takes 10% of the people voting to get on the seat, if they understood that, and more people are, this problem goes away. But there's a lot of people who are still, you know, they vote in their community elections, they're used to winner-take-all, and that sticks with them.
Okay, well, my point is just, I just want to be more comfortable to have some sort of written procedure. Maybe you already have that, so that you don't get charged with making arbitrary decisions to favor one.
I think what I'll do, I hope I can find it. I mean, I'm going to write that down. We had written procedures for all of these things, and if I can find it, I'll send it out to the election committee, and then all of you can respond to it and say this particular one I like or I don't like.
There was also a question that came out in the last election. I think it was a KPFK where a write-in got a lot of votes but was turned out later to be ineligible, I believe. And that affects, you know, whether you throw them out at the beginning or later affects the, you know, the ballot order, I mean, the results. So I think that would be helpful to spell out what you're going to do in that case. And ideally, if you check write-ins first about their eligibility, whether they're members, and then...
Yeah, what I want to do with all the ballots is put the write-ins first. In other words, start with the write-ins. Because I don't find anything in the bylaws that says that you have to have write-ins as number one, so I've gone back to the procedure where people can, you know, put in a name and rank them 38th.
The main concern is that if they turn out not to be eligible, their staff and then they're in the
I understand what you're saying, or they're not a member. Is the very first thing we should do is to find out if there's enough write-ins for a particular person, and then we can, you know, we can check the staff staff or membership list. I think that should be done first before anything else is done.
Okay. Anybody else have questions?
Yeah, can I ask my other question?
Oh, yeah.
Now?
Bob, go ahead.
Bob, thank you. Okay, so a few questions about the staff, the unpaid staff situation.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I know you were sent a list today. I think it may have been sent earlier of about 25 people who have not received their ballots. When are those people going to get ballots?
They'll fit in the they'll fit in the October 30th category because they're going to be receiving their ballots after Monday, last Monday, and they'll be getting them as soon as I have time to get them. I mean, I'm almost thinking of having phone hours because I don't have an assistant, by the way, and the national office was helpful until this week. This week, the national office is doing all kinds of things. They're making booklets and Xerox copies and sending all kinds of stuff to Houston. I don't know why. So they're not helping me. what that means is I'm trying to take care of this. From now on, Ethan is taking care of all the listeners, and I'm taking care of the staff. And as soon as I can get to the staff, I will do that. That might be tonight. I have another call coming right after this one. If I keep taking calls, I can't do it while I'm taking calls.
Okay. Well, a couple other related issues then.
But they will be October 30th people.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if you've seen the email that the union for the unpaid staff sent to you today about the whole process, but it's been very distressing because you and Ethan requested a list from the unpaid staff organizing committee, which has been recognized by management since 2003 as the representative of the unpaid staff, and then never followed up to their numerous requests for you to notify them as to what the final list would be, whether there were changes, you know, where things stood. And now ballots have been sent out. They still, to this day, don't know the list, and there's been no procedure for...
Well, the list has been posted for weeks at WBAI, the list that we sent to.
Well, I don't know about that, and they don't know.
Well, I do.
That's, you know, okay, but in any case, there's been no response to the union. That's the point, is that they sent you a list, and your response was that you went on, or actually Ethan's response was, the list presented to us by WBI management is our only basis for determining who is eligible to vote as staff. But
we were told, yes.
That violates the bylaws because there's a union recognized by management, and they're supposed to be the sole determinant of who is on the list. But in any case, even whatever your ruling on that is, that you need to notify the union as to whether the names that they've submitted are being accepted or not, and if they're not, on what basis and through what, and what appeal process is there.
Okay.
People have been not received ballots and don't know if that's because they've been ruled ineligible or simply this screw up with the addresses and what have you. And now we're at the 11th hour, and you know, people still don't know, the union doesn't know, and the union has rights here that have not been, you know, their obligations have not been met.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Steve Brown?
Yes, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I have a question to Bob. I'm not clear on this. My understanding was that there was some question about whether USOC is recognized by management now as the sole representative of staff. I understand there's another union or guild or something at the station, and I don't know that USOC is the official representative of anybody at the station.
You know, let me be short on this because there's nothing I'm going to do about it. Ethan's response is right. Ethan and I talked about it. We've been struggling with all of these things with the staff. This stuff has to be resolved once and for all. An election committee would be a good place to do it. And I'm certainly willing to take part in open discussions after November 15th on this. I'm not willing to do it now. There were lists posted and forms that were left for people to do the challenging. A couple people wrote me. I sent those couple of people forms, and Ethan did the same thing. But I know it hasn't been ideal. What I was told is that the USOC was not unpaid staff organization was recognized, and therefore the management came up with a list that we accepted. And Ethan came out with his ruling based on a talk that he and I had. He's there. I'm not. He had a better sense of what was happening.
Right, but by the very fact that he accepted without questioning and without notifying or allowing the union to challenge management's claim that despite the acceptance since 2003 and the reaffirmance of that acceptance by every management in the last 6 years until the current one, and despite the fact that every election supervisor has recognized USOC, that suddenly through some process that has never been communicated to the union by new management, except that they refused to answer any communications since new management was appointed, that suddenly they were no longer recognized. So, you know, that's a bias on Ethan's part, and your support of him is biasing it to say what management says goes, and we're not even going to let the union give us their side of the story. We're just going to go with management's list, and there's no appeal, and there's nothing else. And the other thing that's really outrageous is that a member of staff who was running for the board, who her papers had been accepted, and she was originally, she wrote her statement, it was put up on the website, and then suddenly was removed with no opportunity for an appeal. And when she inquired and was told that she could appeal, she never heard another word again, and the ballots went out without her name, without her ever having a chance to make the case that she had worked the requisite number of hours. So in what way is that in any kind of due process or fairness?
Carolyn, on the side here, please, if you haven't...
Okay, let's let Les respond.
Okay. Well, the response is that both I and Ethan did write Serene. We did. There is a form. I'm pretty sure that Ethan sent her that form. It wouldn't have done her any good because explicitly, LaVarne said that she's not a staff person.
And there's no appeal? So why would you send her a form that was meaningless if there's no real appeal? So you're saying management says goes, there's no challenge, there's no appeal to you as the neutral supervisor, supposed to be the neutral supervisor to determine the outcome of disputes as to who has the right to vote, who has the right to run. You're just abdicating that to management?
I wasn't abdicating it to management. I was waiting for, Ethan, because, I'm sitting here, and I really have to do some trusting of the local election supervisor.
Right. Well, he ignored it, too. She appealed. Nothing, and never heard another word.
Well, I can try to get word to her.
word to her of what?
I'm not sure what the appeal... I'll talk to Ethan. That's the most I can do. I'll talk to Ethan, make sure he sent her that form, see what kind of form was sent back to him. That's the most I can do.
But this has been the problem with the entire process. There's no communication with the union, no communication with people who appeal. It's just decisions are made secretly and nobody ever knows. And to this day, people who haven't gotten ballots have no idea why they haven't gotten them, whether they're going to get them. And that's...
Okay, I don't
all they do is
say
look at the staff list. There's a staff list on the board at WBAI. Just, if they're not on that staff list, they're not getting a ballot.
Even if they were incorrectly removed from that list? Even if they can demonstrate they've worked the hours?
If management doesn't accept them as an employee, they cannot say they work the hours. Nobody works at that station without the permission of management, explicitly or not. That's basic. The general manager is the only person who can hire or fire at the station, whether paid or unpaid. So if the manager said explicitly somebody is not on staff, it doesn't matter how many hours they work, they were doing it without authorization, and it doesn't count.
Okay, Carolyn, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to correct one statement that Bob made. In fact, management has not reaffirmed USOC since 2003. Don Rojas at one point specifically declined to do so. Adams did not. Inder Hardat did not.
That's
so
completely false.
They
process grievances. Every manager is processing.
Excuse me. I'm not finished. At least three or four general managers have explicitly not reaffirmed USOC, and I think that 2003... given that the current manager has, in fact, declined to recognize USOC, and that there is another, as Steve pointed out, a producer's guild, another organization representing unpaid staff, those two
which
things...
Which has not been recognized.
They haven't been recognized because they're not the sole unit, and that is the criterion in the bylaws. There's not one organization at WBAI anymore that represents the staff, and they may say so, but they're not, and the staff will say that they're not. So I think the point is moot. It's a tempest in a teapot.
Okay, Bob, did you want to say something?
Well, just that, there's a legally binding contract between USOC and management, and until management negotiates with the union to change that contract, it's still in effect. And so I was just using the point about the later managements having reaffirmed it as sort of a supplementary point that, in addition, as evidence that this has a long and clear practice at BAI. But the core issue is the contract is still in force, and it needs to be respected and followed, and the bylaws need to be followed based on that contract, and they're being blatantly violated here. And the election supervisors are now, you know, participating in that violation by simply accepting management's side of the story without any appeal mechanism.
Okay. Did you want to say anything less, or you don't have
well,
to necessarily? But
no, because I mean, it's true we've made the decision that management hires and fires. They've decided who the staff is. The additional problem that we've had with WBAI is the management of any of the lists, and it makes it much more difficult to deal with a situation where lists are very difficult. So I'm saying that I do have the list. Ethan and I talked about it. It seemed like a reasonable thing to post the list on there, on, you know, on the WBAI office, and have people respond to it. The fact is that the last word at this point is going to be the general manager of WBAI.
Okay. Well, it's getting late, everyone. Any more urgent questions? And I know we've kept Les longer than I told him we'd have him on.
I'm sorry. Could I just ask on a totally separate subject, Bill?
Okay, yeah, if it's kind of quick.
And this will be the last thing. About the complaints of violations, when are those going to be ruled on? And in one case, you actually told one complainant that they had a valid point about their complaint about a violation by a producer with some on-air comments, and that was back in July, and you promised a ruling, I believe, within a couple weeks, and here it is October, and nothing's happened. And that's just one of many.
Yeah, and I did make a ruling. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go back. You're right. I've done very poorly in terms of most of these. We've made rulings, and most of them we followed up on. I vaguely remember what you're talking about, and the idea was that Ethan was going to take over the program. I don't know whether he did or not, and I didn't follow up on it. I'll have to check with him.
Yeah, you wrote, the program clearly crossed the line as defined by the fair campaign provisions.
Right.
But nothing ever happened to the host.
Yeah, I have to check with Ethan to see whether anything happened or not.
What program was that?
That was, I believe it was, well, I don't have it in front of me right at this moment, so I'm not sure. But in any case, Les, in your letter of July 14th, I do have that part.
Go ahead. I agree with you.
We are considering preempting the program for an hour next week. We will notify everyone concerning the violation. That was July 14th, and no one has ever heard another word since. The complainant has not heard. The listeners certainly haven't heard.
I'll have to check with Ethan to see whether that program was preempted or not. I don't know. I made the decision, and you know, just. I really don't know. I can't answer that it was. I'll try to find out.
Okay. Well, thank you, Les, for all your time. Thanks everybody for your questions and concerns. If there is any way we can help you with writing up guidelines or reviewing these past ambiguous or contradictory rulings or anything else, please let us know.
If anybody can find those guidelines, I mean, I wrote them up. They were somewhere in the 206 thing, but I'll look for them. I mean, because the guidelines should be agreed on by everybody, frankly. I mean, guidelines, these kinds of guidelines, I look for unanimity. For example, if somebody puts somebody down as a 2, they should go down as a 2. If there's a little speck in the 2 that is clearly a mark and there's nothing else on the page, you know, it seems to me that we would all agree that that's their mark.
Okay. Was somebody willing to look in the Yahoo groups thing? I'm going to be really busy tomorrow, but somebody have time to look in case you got
I mean, I'm swamped for the next 3 days unless people don't want me to do anything else other than go back into this history. I just can't. I've got this stuff to mail out. I'm still writing the program to count the ballot. I'm working with a fellow to do that. We're ordering equipment because a lot of the stuff was lost. We need some procedures, as a matter of fact, for equipment, because one of the problems that we had is that the software that I purchased in perpetuity, by the way, requires a red USB key, which has been lost 2 years ago, and nobody knows where this damn thing is. And the replacement key is $8,000. We don't have the money for that.
Yeah.
You want a hacker for $100, you'll probably get right in.
No, it turns out, actually, this guy, that's what this hacker friend of mine said. He found out it was hack-proof.
Nothing is hack-proof, but it may be difficult.
We'll even talk about that. There is a way of making it hack-proof, and that way, and it's I will never buy a product again with a key like this, because it doesn't have. See, you're saying all you have to do is find a security code. This security code it's got about 100 security codes, all of them hashed.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, I'm not sure I'll have time tomorrow or Friday morning, maybe. Start notice then. I'll try to write up a little report for the Friday evening, I believe, election committee report to the PNB, and based on some of this, and Les is, I believe, your reports then too. So I'll just probably email it to the PNB and the EC. And so if you have it, I'll circulate. If I have time, I'll try to circulate a draft to the election committee. But it may be, I don't know, late tomorrow, Friday morning. I don't know. So if you have a chance to send me anything, that would be great.
Okay. And just remember, folks, in case you haven't turned in your taxes last spring, October 15th is also the date for taxes.
Okay, for extensions. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody,
okay.
And thank you,
okay.
Les.
Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Otis and John.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye.